From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. The Women's Fund of Southwest Florida commissioned a study to find out just how women and girls are doing in the region. The results are out, and just in time for International Women's Day this week, we'll delve into the findings. Some results were predictable: how many women are registered to vote, how many have bachelor's degrees. Some were very telling: how many women and girls under age 18 gave birth or don't get prenatal care in their first trimester, or how many women-owned firms there are. We'll also talk about why Hendry County had some very interesting statistics. Plus, we'll meet Highlands County Sheriff Susan Benton, who serves as president of the Florida Sheriff's Association and was recently appointed to the board of the National Sheriff's Association. She's one of only two women sheriffs in the state. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Amy Tardiff. There are only two women sheriffs in Florida. One is the sheriff of Highlands County, which surrounds the inland town of Sebring, almost due east of Sarasota. Susan Benton was elected sheriff of Highlands County in 2004, then re-elected in 2008, and again in 2012. The fifth-generation Floridian is a Miami native. She has a Master's of Public Administration, a Certified Public Manager degree from FSU, and training from the FBI National Academy. She has an extensive background working with children and youth. And now Sheriff Benton, who is the president of the Florida Sheriff's Association, has been appointed to the National Sheriff's Association Board of Directors. She joins us now by phone from her office in Sebring. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live, Sheriff Benton.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. Listeners can talk to Sheriff Benton by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. We already have a hearty congratulations to Sheriff Benton from Michelle Daugherty on our Facebook page. Sheriff, what is the role of the Florida Sheriff's Association?
Well, the Florida Sheriff's Association is a very long-standing organization of sheriffs in the nation. We're one of the oldest associations of our kind. It's about a 118-year organization, and it's primarily the group of 67 sheriffs in Florida are joined together through this association to provide leadership, legislative organization in terms of working with the Florida legislature to provide good legislation and for us to sometimes remind them that maybe that direction they're heading is not such a good direction. It also provides us support in terms of legal liability issues. We have attorneys on staff that can help sheriffs make decisions in terms of labor, liability with our jails, and with our patrol issues. It's an amazing organization. Additionally, the Florida Sheriffs started some 50 plus years ago, the Florida Sheriff's Youth Ranches, which I know a lot of folks know the service that the youth ranches provide to the youth in our state.
In fact, it just launched a spring break safety effort called Operation Dry Spring.
Yes, we did. And that is one of the amazing things of the Florida Sheriff's Association is our interagency operational plans where sheriffs, through our task force agreements, share resources statewide. As you know, a sheriff and his or her deputies only have jurisdiction in their county. For example, the Gulf Coast University is in Lee County,
yes,
correct? Well, Sheriff Scott and his folks have jurisdiction in Lee County, as I and my deputies have jurisdiction in Highlands. But when we join forces through our Florida Sheriff's Association task force, we garner the resources of the entire state of Florida, which is huge. And when we do these type of operations, we are helping to make an impact statewide through prevention, intervention, even education and enforcement. And quite frankly, we want kids to have a great time, but as we know, a lot of times there's tragedy connected to spring break and excessive drinking and oftentimes, drug abuse that causes death.
How does your background as a physical education teacher, a school resource officer, and your many affiliations with juvenile justice boards and work groups and all kinds of things help you as the president of the Florida Sheriff's Association?
Well, I think one thing, when I look back to my old physical education teacher days, when you have 80 kids out there on the field together at one time, you got to be pretty organized. I think organizational skills are something that has really kept me focused along the way, making sure that you know how to prioritize, number one. But when you identify a problem, you really have to dig in to see what the real root cause of a problem is before you can even figure out what solutions there are. So I think through those organizational skills, you learn to identify problems, develop solutions, but more importantly, the tenacity and accountability to yourself and holding others accountable to make sure you implement those solutions to where they become institutionalized in the way you do business. Because it's a long process in fixing things. You just don't go out there and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and say, oh, we fixed it. Most things take long-term solutions to long-term problems.
Last month, an Annie E. Casey Foundation report titled Reducing Youth Incarceration in the U.S. found that the number of youths in detention in Florida went down 32% between 1995 and 2010. What's been the experience of youth detention by you in Highlands County?
Actually, it is very minimal. I mean, we're a smaller county. We probably have about 12,000 school kids. And on average, we might have 3 to 5 kids in detention. So when you look at the comparative numbers, we're doing pretty well. And that is one thing that I have paid attention to over the years, getting the statistics from the courts of how many charging documents we have filed on kids from a criminal perspective, and then how many dependency reports end up in court for children who are victims of abuse or neglect. And the abuse or neglect numbers have tended to rise somewhat and kind of fluctuate. But our delinquency numbers, if you will, have remained very static over 10 years. But the good news is that your population numbers have increased while those numbers have remained consistent. So we're still truly, and it's probably the same way across the country, of the children that get in trouble, 60 to 70% of them get the message, they won't do it again. Then you have that 20-some percent that it's going to take a few times and maybe some tough lessons learned. But really, only about 2% of your kids go on to be the serious habitual offenders that typically will end up in the adult system and in long-term incarceration rates as adults. So what you try to do is sometimes focus a lot of attention on those that are seeking it, if you will, and pay a lot of attention to those kids that are in that 20% group to help reduce that 2%. Because that 2% kids are the ones that cost taxpayers a lot of money, and cost not just in cash, but in tragedy and heartbreak. And those kinds of things, you know, either by victims or families that are just heartsick because their kid ends up in prison, those kinds of things. But that's what it takes, good leadership among our sheriffs here in Florida, to do things creatively. Amy, for example, here in our county, typically children don't know or don't think that the cops know anything about their probation as a juvenile. And quite frankly, traditionally, the systems haven't spoken to each other. The Department of Juvenile Justice doesn't necessarily notify the cops that, hey, Johnny just went to court last week and he's on probation now. And he has, by the way, an 8 o'clock curfew. He's not allowed to be out of his house. Well, the cops don't know that. So if they run across Johnny at 9 o'clock in the mall parking lot, Johnny's laughing because he knows the cops don't know. But in our county, we realize this, and we've set up our own relationship with our local juvenile justice office, And every time a child is placed on probation or comes off, we maintain a database here that law enforcement has access to, where if they are at the mall at 9 o'clock at night, and the deputy, there's five kids out there, and he runs their names in our system, it immediately tells him, hey, Johnny is on probation, his case manager is Miss Smith, and his curfew is 7 o'clock. So that deputy can take immediate intervention, take into custody, fast repercussions for a kid who's out of compliance with his probation. He can take that child into custody under law, bring them here to the jail, contact the probation officer, and they make the decision then whether to release them again or they go back to detention based on their original underlying charge. But without those immediate consequences with kids, it becomes a laughing point for children when they know, ha, 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 you guys can't catch us.
And they rule the system, or they know, they think they do.
Exactly. Just like your own kids.
Yes.
If you say, you wait till your dad gets home. Well, by the time dad gets home, the kids forgot what he did.
Right. And mom has too.
So that's one of the things that we do here that works well. And on average, our deputies do 20 to 30 checks. And you know what? It's not just so the kids know, ha, 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 the cops are watching you. Our deputies truly end up building relationships, because when they're out there, typically a deputy is assigned a geographic zone to patrol. And we try to keep the same deputy in the same zone for long periods of time so that they learn the neighborhood, they know the people, they know, you know, when things are getting a little iffy, they can, you know, go talk to this person and find out what's going on. Well, it's really the same with these kids. Sometimes these kids just don't have anybody that even cares that they're home at 7 o'clock.
Well, let's move on because we have a lot to cover.
Tell
me about your role, your new role on the board of the National Sheriff's Association.
Well, Amy, that's a good question. I was just appointed to an interim slot as a result of a sheriff here in Florida leaving, and that was just a month or so ago. But I know that as a board member, you're basically in the position to make policy decisions for the direction, you know, for the National Sheriff's Association, as you would with the Florida Sheriff's Association. So it's those things that affect sheriffs nationally.
Mm-hmm.
Again, working with the federal, with Congress, on legislative issues. And then again, across the United States, what are the commonalities among sheriffs? Because there are quite a bit of differences, for example, from the responsibilities of a sheriff in Florida and the responsibilities of a sheriff in Pennsylvania are very different. But the key thing is courts is the main commonality among all sheriffs, is the responsibility for the execution of the orders of the courts. The security of the judge and the juries is probably the most common thing among all sheriffs.
Now, both the Florida Association and the National Association of Sheriffs recently released statements on gun control, but they seemed quite diverse. The national one included things that need to change to keep people safe, yet stated it supports the Second Amendment. And the Florida one said the state sheriffs will not, quote, assist, support, or condone any law that infringes on the Second Amendment rights, which constitutional lawyers said exceeded their bounds. Was there such a diverse difference in them, or are people interpreting the two differently?
I think it's the interpretation. I think when the Florida sheriffs made that statement, they didn't say their intent certainly wasn't to go out and, you know, pound the pavement and say, you know, we're not going to enforce the law. It meant that we uphold the Constitution and support the Second Amendment, and we're not going to go out there and advocate for guns being taken away from people, you know, that kind of thing. I know that in the meeting there was a lot of diverse discussions. I chaired that meeting, but the consensus simply was, look, we understand that ultimately whatever legislation is created that concerns guns, it will be up to the Supreme Court for that process to go through to test the constitutionality. Once that is done, we have sheriffs. That's our job. That's our oath, is to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Our general statement was simply that, as the Constitution exists, we uphold the Constitution, including the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. And we are not going to engage in changing that constitutional right. Now, however, we do agree from the prevention side that, yeah, maybe we should be doing some better background checks. Maybe we should not even better ones, but at least doing some in some cases. You know, maybe there should be some tweaks here and there, but we're not opposed to that. But anything that would deprive legal rightful ownership of a firearm to anybody in the United States, we would be opposed to.
I read an article in Highlands Today that said as a child you wanted to become a nun. So how did that turn into a law enforcement officer?
Well, you know, it's service to people when you think about it. There's no doubt in my mind that this is my vocation. It's not just a job for me. The same as in those days I was raised in Catholic school. And, you know, the whole thing, I used to work, volunteer on the weekends in the Redlands in Homestead down south and, you know, teach religion to the kids. And it was that whole thing of service. And, you know, the minute I got my first duty assignment on the streets in Miami where I started, I knew immediately that was it. That was my calling. I was out there on the streets with everyday people trying to engage with them to help them with their problems. And that would have been the same thing. It's just I don't have a habit. I have a gun.
And I have one last quick question.
Yeah.
I think you were in Tallahassee for the first day of the legislative session.
Oh, yesterday we met with the governor, yes.
And you have a quick first priority of yours?
Well, actually, our biggest priority right now is working with the legislature on both sides, the House and the Senate, in regards to the Florida retirement system reform. The sheriffs collectively disagree with their thoughts that we need to move totally to a 401-type retirement program.
That's all the time we have. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks for calling. Have a great day.
You too. Highlands County Sheriff Susan Benton is the president of the Florida Sheriffs Association and is on the board of directors of the National Sheriffs. She spoke to us from Sebring. This is WGCU Fort Myers, 90.1 FM, WMKO Marco, 91.7 FM.